Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And we start the show, and Deshaun Watson is on ESPN again. Oh, my. It's every morning.
And he just says, what is it going to take?
What's it going to take?
Please. Get someone. Please help Deshaun. He's not being kidnapped in a $37 million tower
somewhere. I swear, every single morning. I know that there's not much. I guess the Rockets aren't ESPN's lead story this morning.
No.
You don't think so?
They can be ours, I guess, but it's not even there. It's not even how bad they play. It'd probably be Victor Oladipo.
Oh, I don't know about the Rockets being the lead.
Is that it Deshaun? What is it going to take? Is that what it is?
No, but it's not even an NBA team anymore. It's really not.
Well, but it's funny because this is the same team that we were like, this is kind of a fun team to watch.
Well, Christian Wood is not there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, now is Christian Wood worth 39 points or 49 points? I mean, honestly.
10 Christian Wood.
49 points.
The Rockets were beaten so badly yesterday. Finals 132 to 84.
133.
Oh, it was 133. Yeah, it was a blowout from early on. They never made it a game. It just got worse and worse. And I, in the middle of it, I sent this tweet out. And I truly mean this. This is not even a joke. I said, listen, Rockets, keep doing what you're doing. I didn't mean, you know, they took it literally. They were down 20 at the time.
50 points?
Well, they were down 20 at the time. When I said keep doing what you're doing, I didn't mean, you know. But I said keep doing what you're doing. We're all going to be here for you on the other side. Don't worry about the fans. Meaning, I want you to lose. I'm not going to hide it. I've started saying this. I've never said this about any team. I legitimately want the Rockets to lose because it'd be one thing if they had the sixth pick and they still, you know, but they lose their pick if they're outside the top four. Yeah. Or, I'm sorry, bottom four.
Right.
They lose their pick. They could still lose their pick in a lottery.
Right.
When they draw the ping pong balls.
Right. Yeah. Well, here, but I don't think you have to worry about their fans. Do you think there were 12 people there last night?
No, but I mean Rocket fans in general. I think Rocket fans aren't going to turn on you if you're terrible. I think everyone understands once James is gone, they may win some games or be a fun team to watch or whatever, but they weren't headed towards any kind of championship.
But this is...
Going to the game is not going to be fun.
No, but this is...
It's what it takes.
But
remember, how good were the Astros compared to this?
But how could Eric Gordon, 1-for-10, John Wall, 4-for-16, 1-for-8, 1-for-5, 2-for-10, 2-for-11. I mean, goodness gracious. Honestly, there are G League teams that could beat this team.
Ooh.
No.
I mean, that was a bad game.
No.
They shot just terribly.
Let's take a look at the last. Let's take a look.
Go look at the G League players. They're not even going to be. Most G League players won't even play in the league.
Let's look at the last 10 games. I mean, that last night was. Well, okay, let's say they could have beat them the way they played last night.
Okay. But I'm not.
That's maybe a little much, but yes.
You're not going to get a lot of. Look, I'd rather you lose by 15.
130 to 101, 119-94, 121-99, 131-119, 120 to 100, 112 to 96.
Look at the defense
these
now.
These are all Lance. When was the last time they won? I mean, they lost within. Was Philadelphia the last time they lost?
No, they
that wasn't
cover.
Double digits.
Yeah, they can't cover anything.
No. That wasn't double digits the last time. And out of this whole run, two of the 10 straight losses. Two of the 11 straight losses, only two have been less than double digits.
The Rockets were over 500 at one point.
Yeah. They were 11 and 10, and now they're 11 and 21. Yeah. 11 straight, and only two of them have not been double digits.
Cool. Here's so it's not close. Great.
But here's the deal is, thank God, two games were postponed. Otherwise, it'd be 13 in a row.
Great. Hope
there's
to
a
see
lining.
It.
There's a lining.
Love there. To see it. I don't. Once again, I don't care. I don't care how bad the losses are. Just keep piling them up.
I
don't want them to lose their draft pick this year. I want the first this year. I want Cleveland's. I want the Nets. I want everything. I want all the picks.
Yeah, two games.
Oh. New players. I don't want to lose this year's. I want them to openly tank.
Can you even put a number on this team? When Brooklyn is going to be here. First Cleveland and then Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's got to be 12.5.
Brooklyn is here Wednesday. Cleveland tonight.
12.5's not enough.
12.5's not even close to enough.
14
they just lost to Memphis by 49.
But you can't use that as the...
Why?
Well, you can't.
Well, wait a minute. Who's better?
Because then they're a 50-point dog against
the
Nets.
No. I don't think that's enough. Who's better, Memphis or Brooklyn? And
well,
they lost
on any
by
given
49.
Night, yeah, but that's the worst possible game of the year, probably.
Oh, are you sure that's the worst?
I don't think they're going to be 49.
I don't know that they've hit their high level. I don't think they've hit the high water mark.
Well, you're upset with this.
You have to understand that there's a chance Brooklyn only plays one of their best players, so that has to be taken into account.
Durant's hurt.
Yeah, and Kyrie didn't play on, Saturday night?
You can't beat a team with Justice Winslow. Like, that's just not going to happen. A Justice Winslow-led team.
I was going to bring it up. The Rockets were so bad last night that Justice Winslow, who hadn't played in almost a year, he came back the last week. He's been terrible. He comes home and has his best game in like over a year.
Led the team in scoring.
Yeah, that's how bad they were last night. This guy, he's coming back from a major absence, but he has been bad since his return.
I mean, the defense, after being lauded and praised by all of us for being one of the best defenses like in the league,
it's not
once
that
they
good
traded
anymore,
James,
I don't think.
No, they've allowed 130. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 times during this losing streak. And they've allowed 118 or more just about every time other than 3 times. So it's really bad, and we thought it could be bad this year. This is if it's going, but this is what I mean though. If it's going to be bad, it needs to be extremely bad. You don't want it to be bad and then still lose your first pick of the draft.
No.
And that's why I will openly cheer for a tank, but it needs to be bottom 4. Because if you're 5, you lose it. And let me tell you, they look like they are. This is a team that's going to be hard to beat in a tankathon right now because they are really miserable defensively. And that's the key to losing. Have you looked at the over-unders in basketball? There was one the other day that was 242. Like, we're playing in one of the high. We're watching one of the highest scoring because no one's playing defense anymore. Very little defense.
Did you see? I was listening to a show and I didn't realize this. 8 of the top 12 team scoring seasons of all time are this year.
Yeah,
8 of the top 12.
But there is listen.
This is Showtime Lakers stuff.
I hear a lot of talk about how this is the greatest era and everyone else is plumbers and this is. I'm telling you now, there are some great offensive talents, but you get so little pushback now. It is watching. I thought it was just the Rockets. Watching other games, it's really like this league-wide where not every team, but a lot of teams, it's like watching a little bit juiced-up pickup games where guys will let you get your shot off. You run down and you get an early three off and you come back. Like, it's not really basketball. There's not a lot of challenges. Rotations are slow. Some teams defend, but you can see a lot of games where once it gets going with a high tempo, the defensive intensity and transition is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone races to the three-point line. No one goes to the rim. Like, on a 3-on-1, it's a race to the three-point line.
The Nets, the Bucks, they're averaging 120 and 119. The Jazz, 116. The Nuggets, 115. This is like... This is so unbelievable how bad it's bad defensively. The guys are good. They're coming out and they're much better scoring. You know, and oh by the way, the three for two. Everybody's taking the threes now and all that. Everything else, but this is just unbelievably bad. How bad it is defensively, and our Rockets are right there now as some of the worst. This is This is really, really. I don't know. I know that I knew it was going to be bad when James left, but this is getting historically bad.
Well, it's what it looked like with the Astros. 100 lost seasons. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. This is what really
was
bad
this
looks
the intention
like.
Though.
I mean, I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either.
But now that we're here.
Well, and Oladipo allegedly has turned down a contract extension.
I mean, how long did you want to stay bad? Because you were trying to extend Victor Oladipo. That'll help you stay bad, apparently.
Well,
I mean, did you see what he turned down? The big story to me is Victor Oladipo turned down how much? And why did the Rockets? They were offering him a $45.2 million extension. 2 years, 45.2. Now, I guess that was the most that the team could afford to offer him, and he turned it down because that's, you know, I mean, that's an insult. Offering Victor Oladipo $22.5 million is an insult. I can tell you, somebody's going to be really sad with the player they get for the money they pay. I thought we had seen enough to think he was going to roll off the cap.
Yeah.
I thought we had seen enough, right? Oh, he never plays, and he's not that good when he plays. All right, you got your answer. I didn't think the answer was that you give him $22.5 million. I thought the answer was he goes bye-bye. That's what I thought he was showing us. More than one person said to me, ooh, are we a little bit nervous right now about Rafael Stone giving this deal out? And look, the numbers, he's averaging almost 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, 4.6 assists. You think, well, that's not bad for what you're getting. He shoots 32% from the three-point line. He is, in the last 10, he's shooting 29%, but everyone's bad. He's only played 4 games. 32% from three-point line, 40% from the field, only 75%.
40% from the field is terrible.
And only 75% from the free throw line. He's averaging 2 turnovers per game to 4.6 assists. You know, you're right at a little bit more than 2 to, you know,
2-1,
point,
but it ain't
2.3
like,
to 1.
Yeah, right.
Great.
But there's only 6. There's only 4 and 2. So it's not like it's 12 and 6.
That's what I mean. This isn't enough to give him. This is what you pay someone on a bad team to stick around and get numbers.
What
on
are
a bad
you
team.
Then?
That's
what you're doing.
Yeah,
what
but
are
that's
you?
Not what you're but that's not what you should be gunning for.
Well,
the extension means you want more of that.
There's a couple things I'm looking at the story because not only did the Rockets decide they thought after watching him play that they wanted him to stick around, said Oladipo thinks he's going to get more. Like, because the Rockets can then negotiate with him after the season before free agency and give him a 4-year, $113 million deal extension. Or once free agency begins, the Rockets can give him something in the lines of 4 years, $151 million, or 5 years, $195 million.
Stop it.
So what does Victor Oladipo think he's worth?
Stop it. Stop that.
These are the numbers.
Do not ever say that again.
These are the numbers he's shooting for, though. That's why he turned this down.
Well, the only way that you're going to get a guy is to grossly overpay him. Any way you're going to get a name to come in here?
I don't care about names. I care about draft.
No, I know. Victor Oladipo is a name because he's been an all-star.
Once.
Otherwise, you
twice.
Who's coming here to play?
I don't care. Hopefully, nobody. This loss stuff needs to last for 2 years.
The Karis.
Maybe that's why they extended.
The Karis LeVert, Jared Allen thing is looking worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I was excited about the trade because of all the draft picks, but now that you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness, you could have used players. You really, really, really.
Well, unless
used
you want to be bad. Now, if you want to tank and be really bad, which was the 76er model, I mean, that is possible, and I guess one of the best ways to do that is to extend Oladipo.
Well, but you're talking about
if you're playing the long game.
But let's not forget how many draft picks that Jahlil Okafor,
Nerlens Noel, Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz. How many times they screwed up?
And
oh,
even
I know.
The ones they hit on, Joel Embiid you can't count on him consistently. And Ben Simmons is a guy who can't shoot.
And they've won nothing. And we're talking that's like a 10-year process because you've got to be bad for 4.
Well,
then you got to wait for these guys to come around.
Yeah, I'm not sure they meant to be that bad for that long.
No, I know. 7:14 ESPN. Well, the Rockets didn't mean to be this bad either. It's horrible. It's 7:14 ESPN 97.5. Look, you guys are out there right now trying to work it, right? You need transit vans. My peeps over at Chastang Ford are the best. I'm telling you, this is truck month, time of the year when you get the most significant savings. Whether you're in the market for a classic F-Series truck or a work-ready Super Duty, Chastang Ford has the truck you need at the price you want and no hidden fees. That is a key here. The key is that they're not going to just throw a bunch on. No hidden keys. Most dealerships charge up to $3,000 in unknown add-ons. And you can shop at home. The pink button on the website, customize your payments, value your trade, get pre-approved, schedule a test drive, VIP delivery. You commercial people out there, you got pickups, you've got cargo vans, KUVs, you've got service bodies, crane bodies, flatbeds, snake beds, stake beds. You've got everything that you could possibly want. They're the number one commercial dealership in the city of Houston, and there's a reason for that. It's because they know, the business world knows that you're not only going to get the best price, but you're going to get the service that you have to have, and they know what you need to customize that van to make sure that it's perfect for you and the job that you're going to do. It's all happening in Chastang. I love these people. You will love them, too. You'll be part of the Chastang family. It's at ChastangFord.com. You can buy online or get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They want it so bad that they just are like, you don't miss this many shots without like having some sort of tightness in your emotions, your body, whatever, because you want it. You want to make it so bad. And the belief that I have in this group doesn't waver, hasn't wavered. And that's what I told them. So we have an opportunity tomorrow to rectify it against Cleveland, who beat us the other night. And we've got to do better, 100% better. But the shot stuff is hard.
That's Coach Steven Silas talking about his team. His faith in his team has not wavered. Then that means he started with none.
Well, I mean, he's when you, somebody asked me yesterday about, well, what about Steven Silas? Don't you care about him? Yeah, the best way to help Steven Silas is to get him better players.
Yeah.
This shouldn't in no way, to me, Steven Silas is a minimum 3-year plan. But this was never going to be, this always needed to take time. This in no way reflects, I mean, for me, it shouldn't reflect on Steven Silas at all. This should just be the beginning of what is going to be a new version of the Rockets. And you don't get a new version in a year. You really aren't going to get a different version in 2 years. It's going to take 3 years. Steven Silas should get that time.
He won't be around when they're good.
You don't think he will be?
No. He won't be around.
This is a Bo Porter deal. This is a David Culley, Bo Porter, Steven Silas deal.
You don't suffer that many losses, the potential for this many losses, and be around when they're
very
good.
Very few coaches do. Yeah. That is true.
Because when you get good, they look at, and you get good players, they're like, look at your record.
Not here when you're good anyway. Like, no part of good.
Yeah.
It's usually when you have gone. If they are able to be good while he's here, they're not going to get rid of him. And I also don't think he's a very expensive coach.
No, I just don't think the whole bright side on the end of the rainbow, he's not going to see it. If it ever comes, he's not going to see it.
Might not, but he needs to be. Like I said, this should be a minimum 3 years. And in 3 years, you should look a lot different than you look right now. After 2 years, you should look a lot different. I'll be surprised if Daryl could do it in a single year.
Well, but the problem is you got Wall and Eric Gordon tied up for next few years.
Yeah
in
lucky.
3 years. In 3 years.
Daryl hooked you up. Yeah. Well, actually, Daryl didn't hook you up with Wall. That was your own deal.
Well, no.
Kind of.
No, it was your. That was Daryl's deal. Yeah.
Did Daryl make the Westbrook
trade?
The Westbrook trade is
that's
what eventually.
That's all on Daryl.
This is the Westbrook.
You had to get John Wall because you had Russell Westbrook. So that's all on Daryl. Man, I'm looking at this headline here on Yahoo. It says ESPN investigating broadcaster for comments on radio show. I was like, wait a minute, let me look.
Does it say it's you?
No, it's Dan Dockich. apparently he was making comments about Jalen Johnson.
The Duke kid.
The Duke kid who opted out. They're 4-0 since he's gone. They went 4-0, and I don't know if they've lost since then. But Seth Davis had a bunch of tweets about him, and then there's a professor, Nathan Kalman Lamb, at Duke, who got on Seth Davis and got on Dan Dockage for their comments about Jalen Johnson. Of course, they're told, hey, it's quitting. This is not opting out. It's quitting. For those of you who don't know, Jalen Johnson was at Duke. They were bad. He quit with just a few games to go. And since then, Duke has been winning. And this kid is supposed to be a pretty high draft pick. We'll see if he is. But apparently he's moved around quite a bit. He quit his AAU team. Apparently he changed high schools, all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
this is nothing new for Jalen Johnson.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, these professors at Duke are like, wait a minute. This is an unpaid, nothing to see here other than the national editor of a major outlet in the college sports media complex repeatedly punching down on an unpaid campus athletic worker.
I don't care what a college professor has to say. Stay out of our lane. Well, this is sports. You stay in your lane.
Well, he's in the university lane. Yeah. No,
don't care. You're not in sports lane. So get out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Jalen Johnson
don't
may not be allowed to get paid for his name, image, or likeness, but why should that stop Seth Davis from cashing in on them?
Blah 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 blah. Right. Same thing we hear all the time. That's not what our conversation. It's not our We have that conversation separately. Stay in your lane. You go do that. You go, guys. Go have a beer out at a campus pub somewhere and have your discussion. Our discussion is about whether or not a guy who is there has quit on a team, and if the other guys who are also unpaid who will continue to play, and I've been doing that for, I don't know, several decades, through several championships. It's our conversation that we have on an annual basis about players and who the best teams are. Well, now you have one who leaves. The team is better. And by the way, I think Jay Billis, I don't know if it was Jay Billis I was watching or if it was somebody else. Billis was on the show, but somebody was predicting they would be better without him because he was a bad.
No. It was Jim Boeheim.
It was Boeheim. Oh, actually, yeah. It was Boeheim who said that.
Yeah.
Another coach said they're actually better without him.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah, he was right.
You know, then. I'm sorry this doesn't fit the model of being able to be outraged about something, but he's a guy who doesn't want to he has a serial issue with this. This is not new. There have been players in every sport who have issues like this from time to time. A lot of times they ended up flaming out because they just they can't stay in any one place. That, you know, that happens. We see that happen every year in sports. But now somebody from Duke wants to turn it into it. These are guys who are making comments about a guy quitting on a team. This is nothing new. It's new in the sense that opt-outs are a brand new thing, and now it's new to basketball. And it is going to be an issue now in all sports. I'm telling you, this is not a COVID thing anymore. Now it's going to be a full-on basketball thing, so much so that I had a conversation with a coach who said, he's heard they're trying to write it into scholarships now that you have to play in bowl games.
Yeah.
For college football. That's going to be interesting to see. I think you might be able to say you write it in that if you take a scholarship up, you have to repay the scholarship if you don't finish the semester. I don't know. They may figure out how to say that. But as far as you should be able to have comments. There's college basketball. Like the idea that everybody is beyond any criticism if they play college athletics. I don't know that I would term those cheap shots. Like, I didn't hear all of Dan Dock. Mm-hmm. Dan Dock is just kind of a little bit.
Says the guy who gets criticized for every time he looks at a college athlete.
Yeah, I get criticized for everything.
Well-deserved.
Well, that's because they just feel like the player feels like they are.
Same energy, Lance.
They're perfect prospects. No, that's what I'm saying. I get criticized for it. You should be able to criticize somebody for doing. If a guy's not shooting well or playing well, this isn't Little League baseball.
As far as the professor in question, apparently what he teaches is exactly what the conversation is about. Those are his classes: intersection of sports, labor, race, and social inequality. So he's not just an English professor. This apparently, I don't know what if it's his expertise, but
sounds
these
like
are the
a
class,
fun class.
These are the classes he teaches. Well,
tell me the class again.
Well, he teaches on issues such as the intersection of sport, labor, race, and social inequality. Those are the class. That's the stuff he teaches on.
Well,
that's the least.
Ooh, is he going to be behind that unpaid labor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's the most predictable tweet of all time.
Yeah. Well, apparently Dokich on his radio show was talking about them bitching. There was a woman on this thread. Three of them were attacking Dokich on Twitter. He got Dokich was coming back at him.
While he was on the show?
And then he was talking about it on the show. Oh, he was okay. Talking about him bitching. And now ESPN is looking at it because he said the word bitching when there was a woman involved in the whole thing. I mean, everybody bitches. Adele bitches all the time.
I actually don't.
Yeah.
Who do I bitch to?
No, he kind of does. He bitches. You bitch about Lance.
No, I take shots at Lance. I don't bitch. I don't complain about Lance. Like, yeah. I don't go to
yes,
people
you
go.
Do.
Yeah.
I don't go to people who are like, man, Lance is such a. I don't do that.
Well, Joel bitches about Lance every day.
Well, that's different. Yes, yeah. that's yeah, real.
That's true. That, yeah. That happens every day. Every day that he leaves.
Yeah, what Joel does off the air doesn't help anyone but himself feel better. What I do when I take shots and Lance is for people to hear and then comment on.
People don't like when you do that.
Well, some people do.
Yeah.
They think it's very classless and baseless.
Well, here's the deal is I wish, because Motti's listening, and I wish that he wouldn't use the word bitching all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe Dokich would. Right?
No, she would not.
No, she's not. She's opposed to
it. I was watching, what show did I have on yesterday? Oh, The Little Things, the Denzel Washington movie. It's out now on HBO Max. I guess it'd be in the theaters. Maybe it is in the theaters right now. So I'm watching it on HBO Max. She comes into the room. There's a scene where this girl is, it's autopsy. And as she walks in, Denzel's in there with the lady who's doing the coroner is doing the autopsy. She walks in to just go throw her dirty clothes in our hamper, and they pull the cover down, and she's naked. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Oh my, I'm not sure why you're watching this show." She tells me that. I said, "Madi, it's supposed to be a dead woman. It's not." She goes, "Well, I don't think it's very appropriate for you to be watching that."
She's dead, Monty. Listen, I'm not a necrophiliac. I don't. Was that it?
Yeah, I mean, unless her feet are being shown, it's not going to arouse me at all.
I mean, this is
if
just...
you want to start from the bottom up with the feet, then
you might have something to say.
Oh, wow.
729 ESPN 97.5. We'll get to this on the other side, Art, about wearing black and red yesterday. I hope you all wore your black and red yesterday. We'll get to that on the other side. But first, Generator Superstore. That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant.
I'm waiting for him to realize his mic's off.
There we go. Why? Did you turn my mic off?
No, you do that all the time.
I did?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that's because I was gathering and composed myself because John said Generator Supercenter. Or Superstore. It's a Supercenter. It's a Supercenter, which is even better. And it's amazing how many people have been listening and thought, yeah, you know, that sounds good. And then we got that ridiculous freeze and lost our power and rolling blackouts and started reading stories about how we're going to have more, inclement weather over the next several years and we're going to likely have more rolling blackouts. And now all of a sudden you guys want to know, what's the thing with the generator thing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Generac automatic standby generators. Generator Supercenter is the nation's number one Generac generator dealer. And this gives you peace of mind. It's a peace of mind to understand that you are going to be able to get a free estimate. You are going to be able to get low monthly payments, and you can have that peace of mind like never before. Generac automatic standby generators will power your home as soon as your power goes out. Through rolling blackouts, through hurricanes, through blown transformers, it doesn't matter. Make sure that you give them a call today at 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was kind of shocked yesterday that not every player on the tour wore a red shirt and black pants.
You're shocked that it didn't happen.
Yeah, a lot of them did. Rory did. Annika Sorenstam did. A bunch. Annika Sorenstam was back, by the way, for the first time.
Well, she made some people are friends with Tiger and some, you know.
Well, even so, you know what? Colin Morikawa or Joaquin Neiman, all you guys out there, the reason that you're making that money that you're making right now is because of that guy that's in the hospital. That's why. That guy is the reason that there is so, and I don't care if you knew him or not, you grew up. All those kids that were playing out there grew up. That is their idol. I mean, that is the standard for golf over the last 20 years. And you idolize that guy. I was surprised that not every player didn't wear a red shirt and black pants yesterday. That would have been neat, really, really neat.
I always thought it was neat that several players did anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was the story, is that people obviously got together and said, hey, let's do this.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm not sure if they got together or what. Or they just said, I'm going to do a tribute to him.
You had to go pick up your shirt somewhere and make it.
Well, you know what they do? Hey, Adidas. Hey, Nike. Send me a red shirt and black pants.
That's it. You got to get it there in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, it had to be thought about.
No. They have people there.
And Adidas is like, we don't have that. That's Tiger stuff. That's Nike.
Oh, no. Adidas would look, with the Adidas in red, they would have loved to have it. So people noticing. No. Make no mistake. Listen, it was a nice gesture by a lot of the, by not a lot of the players, but by the players that did it. I thought it was really, really cool. Phil did it. He's not a Nike guy. He did it. There's a bunch of guys that did it. And it was really, 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 now you're right. There are people that are closer to him and not close and not whatnot. But again, That whole tour, he kicked it up 4 notches as far as your pay goes. At least 4 notches as far as your pay goes.
Yeah.
Because of what he did for the sport.
Oh, and MJ, that's why any talk about, you see Doc Rivers came out against any kind of logo change.
Yeah.
He's like, what, are we going to change it every 10 to 20 years? And like, yeah, that's what people want to do. But it really is, MJ is a logo. If you're changing, it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is responsible for the money. He's responsible for the growth internationally. He's responsible for, when I say the money, I mean not just salary, but I mean television ratings. He's Magic and Bird absolutely deserve, to be in a conversation about it. But Jordan was the growth of basketball to what it became. And I mean internationally. The Sons of Jordan can be seen on the court in internet, even the ones who don't know that they are. It's because basketball became big in their country because of Jordan. And that's what happened. Same thing with Tiger in golf. I mean, Tiger had impacts on other countries where people will be playing golf and they don't realize that that Tiger Woods paved the way for them. Even, some kid who's 5 years old who doesn't even know who Tiger is, there's a good chance he's going to start playing golf at an early age because his dad or mom or whoever, got into golf because of watching Tiger Woods. I mean, it's going to have a trickle-down effect internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the women's game was probably strong. I don't know if the whole, South Korea thing. I know the South Korean women are the ones who dominate, right, the women's tour.
Yeah, but
I don't know if Tiger had anything to – I don't know if they were already
– I want to tell you, I was shocked. I watched a lot of golf over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I was
a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, the tournaments are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I was also Annika Sorenstam played, so I was watching a lot of not a lot, but I watched the women's tour. They're really good players, but I was shocked at the leaderboard that wasn't all Asian. It was really, really unbelievable how many Americans are coming up now. How many Canadians and non-Asians are coming up and actually playing pretty damn good golf. who they've dominated the tour. The after day one or day two of that tournament, there were only like a couple in the top 12. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on with the ladies tour? All of a sudden, America, that's what I'm talking about. America playing better golf, which was pretty neat. Nelly Korda won, and there was a good showing by America. Lexi Thompson was up there. Good stuff. Anyway, that's golf, and I know you guys don't give a rat's. Del fell asleep during the segment.
No, I just backed and turned on the fan. I felt like I had some time, so I just backed away and turned on the fan.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm back.
Yeah, so you're back now?
Yeah, I heard all of it.
Okay, so there is a headline today, and I'll see what you guys agree or disagree with, that John McClain calls for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson. In his column, John McClain said that the Texans need to step up and trade. It's time. Stop fooling around. It is time for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson. Now, Mike Florio wrote a piece on Pro Football Talk, and he said this. McClain makes a point locally that some have made nationally. The Texans should try to pit the Jets against the Dolphins for the Jets against the Dolphins for Watson, which could spark a bidding war that will get the Texans even more for
this
Watson.
This is McClain saying this?
Yes. He should pit the Jets against the Dolphins.
I don't know that the Dolphins are getting a bidding war. I mean, it might be for the Jets. It might be trying to get the Jets to get into some kind of bidding war. But then, once again, this idea that Deshaun Watson wants to go play on a team with no draft picks is curious to me at best.
Well, the Jets have got a bunch.
They have 19 picks, but they're not all first rounders.
Four are first rounders.
Yeah.
They got four over the next 2 years. Well, but if they give up three of them.
Let's go.
Yeah. Then there's only one.
I know. And then you're saying they're just going to make a bunch of really good picks with the other draft picks, including fifth, sixth, seventh rounders?
Yeah.
Come on. The impact picks are one through three rounds. Those are primarily impact rounds. You're going to have to give up. I mean, come up with it.
Plus Sam Darnold. McClain. Plus probably something else.
It's time to step up and trade. Good. Come up with it then. That's how I tell everybody. If you want Deshaun to be rescued or whatever with a helicopter to come in, drop off a bunch of picks and players.
Many national voices have been saying for weeks that what McClain is currently saying. It will be much harder for the Texans to ignore McClain than it has been for the team to ignore opinions of outsiders.
Why not? What is John McClain going to force anyone to do?
Okay, well, so who said that?
Florio.
Mike Florio.
Mike Florio doesn't understand the dynamics anymore. That McClain has any pull with the Texans stuff is over. And that's no slight on John.
And I don't know. I don't know. Okay.
Well, maybe. Okay.
What decision making did they ever make because of something that John McClain said?
I don't think. Well, I do think he had a little sway with Bob McNair. Not sway. I think there was. I think Bob McNair, Gary Kubiak. I think there was a conversation. I think he had their ears, or he at least was respected by
them.
Well,
and I would say this.
Bill O'Brien.
I would
did
say
not.
This. They probably asked him, "Hey, John, what's the word out there?"
Yeah.
Hey, John, what's
Bill O'Brien did not do that.
No.
Starting with Bill O'Brien.
But I don't know that they would make any. Do you think Charlie Casserly or Rick Smith made any personnel decisions?
No, I don't think they made personnel, but I think they respected
him. Well,
this
is a personnel decision.
No, I think they respected
him. Yeah, no. And I think they still do. I'm not saying it, and I'm certainly no slight against John McClain. But when would you think that they would make a personnel decision because of what John McClain thought?
Yeah, not. John McClain's beating a drum is not going to. Nick Casserly, look, Bill O'Brien didn't care literally at all. Nick Casserio cares less.
Yeah.
He has no relationship with John McClain. And this isn't Bob McNair. This is Cal McNair. Unless Hannah McNair cares, I don't think it matters, if you really want to be brutally honest. And my guess is McClain is probably getting some information from Deshaun's side. And Deshaun's side, you know, I think this is his like little hat tip to their side saying, hey,
well,
I appreciate you keeping me in the loop. I'm going to try to help you out and write an article. Either, this is kind of how that stuff works.
Well, or maybe it's either that or he says, you know what? You guys are screwing this up again.
You're it actually could be. John McClain, it could be that with John McClain.
You guys are screwing this up. Yeah. You need to trade him. And there's some other stuff in this article that I want to see if you guys agree or disagree with. We'll do it on the other side. 742 ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We're talking about Mike Florio's piece today about John McClain's piece in the Houston Chronicle, in which McClain calls for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson. He wants to pit the Jets against the Dolphins, and that will bring up the bidding, and then the Texans will win out. He says this. There's not sure that Deshaun will go to the Jets. That's true. The Dolphins will be what – this is what Florio says. The Dolphins would be well-suited to admit that as short-list franchise quarterbacks go, Tagovailoa likely won't become one. Do you agree or disagree, Doe?
I mean, this is always this thing where we need to make a snap decision on the quarterback after, what, 9 starts? I mean, I guess I wouldn't – the obvious retort if you're a Dolphin fan is, what did you think about Josh Allen in after his first year, yeah. Mike Florio? Yeah. Where did you stand there? Look, I don't know what Tua's going to be, but I would ask – that the Dolphins, you know, actually provide him with legitimate NFL weapons instead of running out Myles Gaskin and others to play running back for him.
It was bad.
Yeah, name a wide receiver other than Devontae Parker
Myles
for that
Gaskin
team.
Myles Gaskin couldn't be more than just a guy. Like, in 3 years, he won't be in football.
The Dolphins' core of talent, besides Gesicki and Devontae Parker, are all just guys.
Let me tell you, this is the idea that you quit on. Tua had to go through, not only is he coming off of a hip surgery, a hip injury that they were curious about how it would heal before draft stuff. And not only is he coming off that, he also is coming off of an off season where COVID prevented him from having standard off season work. This is outrageous for anyone to just think the book is written and finished on Tua. I don't know if Tua is going to be good or not. I know it's way too early to make a comment that he's not going to be.
No.
Way too early.
Okay. So he goes on to say this. And this is where we'll find out. Whether it's the Dolphins, Jets, Broncos, 49ers, Panthers, or someone else, McClain is right. The Texans need to accept reality and get the best deal for Watson now. As time passes, interested teams will move on to other options, narrowing the universe of potential Watson destinations.
That's not accurate.
That is not accurate.
That's not accurate at all. Deshaun Watson will carry the same, if not even greater level.
Well, but they will solve their problem, is what he's saying.
Once
the teams that need quarterback will solve their problem,
but they have to come. Will you? Well, every year look how many teams don't have their problem solved now.
No, right. Well, that the thing is this is that there were potentially 4 top 8 quarterbacks in this draft. You have to wait till April. So. And then as you get closer,
and Deshaun's
closer
better
and closer,
than all of them.
All of them. All of them. Trevor Lawrence is arguable.
Well, you can argue that Trevor, because he's cheaper and longer, that's fine.
Yeah.
But he's better for sure than the next guy.
Yes, yes. So you got 3 teams at least, one of them being the Jets, who got to have quarterback and will go for quarterback in the draft, or Deshaun Watson. And the longer you wait, the more value. I think it's the exact opposite of what Florio's saying here. The longer you wait, the more valuable Deshaun becomes, because now the clock is ticking. Oh, yes. Crap, I got to do this. Right now, you're offering pennies on the dollar for Deshaun.
Also, after the draft, he's tremendously valuable. Once teams look at, once the Pittsburgh Steelers, once the reality is set in, crap, we just have Ben Roethlisberger. This is it. Once the Eagles say, well, yeah, Jalen Hurts, this isn't good enough. Or there's any number of teams who would just say, this isn't. The 49ers, well, we still have Jimmy Garoppolo. You're going to have the same number of teams who you're going to have at least 6 teams who say, crap, we really need to figure out our quarterback. The Saints might be one of them. So, before this draft is one thing, but even after this draft, there's still going to be a bunch of teams who need this idea that to pressure, they just want Deshaun to have a new team. That's all they want.
Yeah.
They want the player to get the new team and everything.
Well,
the fact is, the team needs to get the proper value. And if it's not right now, you can still do a trade later. It doesn't have to be now. It can be whenever you want it to be.
Yeah. And actually, the longer you wait, closer to the draft you get, the more the bidding goes up. I think the more valuable
he
becomes.
Oh, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
Whenever there's a deadline, it absolutely makes teams do more than they should have.
I shouldn't say I'm surprised, but it's a little weird that everyone's treating Deshaun like he's Rapunzel. And they need to climb they need to scale the castle walls to get him out of here.
No,
it's they need to do everything
weird.
Possible. Like, oh, it's Cinderella. We have to save him. Why is he such a? I get it, star quarterback. It's interesting. It's a story. It's a clicks. But why is everyone in such a rush to get him out of here?
Know.
He must be saved
because Deshaun is unhappy.
The rescue theory, where
everybody needs to save.
Everyone right. wants to be able to help and do their part to save, like. This is the same thing that we've had forever. It's football.
Yeah.
And there's a contract issue, and there may be a trade, and you don't have to save him, and he doesn't have to be saved now. There's no helicopters needed. There's no, you know, you have to lay down cover fire for somebody to run up the and climb up the side to get Deshaun, throw your hair over the top so we can grab it and climb up. Like, no.
Yeah.
The Texans have to get the best. They did their part and offered an extension to the terms that Deshaun wanted. No trade, the money, and the length of contract. They did everything that the Deshaun side wanted. So now they need to be, if this thing's going to break down, it's time for them to get theirs, which means proper trade value.
There is this. Jerking around Watson won't do much to persuade players with options to choose the Texans either. That's the other issue that should concern the Texans.
That's another scare tactic.
Other players are watching this steaming vat of dysfunction. I like that. That's well put, Mike Florio. Other teams are watching this steaming vat of dysfunction. You could call it something other than dysfunction. Looking for signs that the Texans willing and able to admit their wayward course and turn things around. Setting up a season-long standoff with Watson is not the way to do it. Acknowledging responsibility for the deterioration of the relationship becomes the first step in persuading others that the Texans understand what it will take to begin to behave like a normal NFL franchise.
Listen, this idea, that's a scare tactic too. And it's generally a fairly effective one. We say, well, if they don't trade him, who's going to want, guess what? If they trade him, who's going to want to come here? Go ahead and flip that one, too.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to come here to play for the Texans when they're this terrible?
No one wants to come even with him.
Here. So I don't want to, I mean.
With or without
him. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. The idea, you know who's going to come here? You got money? I'll come there.
Yeah.
Why would anyone ever go to the Jets with free agency? Why would anyone go to any bad teams? Because there's a certain amount of money.
Let's face it, the Jets haven't been able to get anybody in any good players in free agency. I mean, you can't. You can't attract. The Texans won't be able to attract good players with or without them. No. They just won't.
But you don't have to attract the best players.
Well, the Jets signed Mosley and Le'Veon Bell because they gave him a lot of money.
Le'Veon right? Bell was, yeah, but.
Mosley. CJ Mosley's a good player.
So they money trumps
every
all.
Player will take your money.
Yeah.
They'll take your money.
And, well, the Texans were want to overpay. There's no question. But that, hopefully those days are over. We'll see with Nick Caserio. But this is not a. This is not a destination. Everybody,
but that's a scare tactic.
One,
if you don't trade them and show people that you're willing to give in and give up, then no one's going to come there.
I don't make the appearances you guys do on national. People call in. We'll talk about Deshaun. Can you guys, the next time you make an appearance, go, why do you guys feel like Deshaun needs to be saved so bad? Like, because if they approach you that way, do you think he's a fairy tale princess? I think you guys ask that question.
Honestly. I think it's insulting sometimes the way that people treat other people like that. That they, I need to save you. You need help. I need to help you. Like, that's a grown-ass man with a contract, with an agent. It's amazing how many people want to come to, everyone wants to come to someone's rescue. Like, y'all need to just be out of people's business sometimes.
You think Deshaun's going to come to help you with his $27 million signing bonus in any way, shape, or form?
No, he's not coming to save Mike Florio.
No, he's not saving any of you. Deshaun, don't give a rat's ass about you. Why you all got to get Deshaun out of Houston?
Once you feel that tone going, I was like, guys, you know his name is Deshaun Watson, not Rapunzel. He doesn't need you guys scaling castle walls to help him. He's okay. He'll be okay.
Free Deshaun. Free Deshaun.
Like, what's the matter with them?
Deshaun is not in prison.
Yeah.
Deshaun is not on death row. He's a quarterback with a contract coming up.
He's not Joe Exotic.
No. He's got a new contract coming up that's going to pay him $37.5 million. He does not have – this is really not about him being somehow trapped in a tower.
Yeah, you long-standing media people, why are you looking for a fairy tale ending? Who cares? Maybe the Texans are the big bad witch. Oh, well. So what? Why do you care?
I don't know.
Everyone's so excited to get him out of here. I get a fan because you want the great quarterback, but if you're a media member, shut up. What do you care? Just let it play out and get your clicks.
Fans want Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Media members like, why are y'all?
Oh, my God. I got killed. But these Jets fans, when me and AJ did a video about the leverage and whatnot.
Jets fans are not fun to
do. You two are too stupid. I was like, oh, my God.
Why did you say he wouldn't play for the Jets?
No, I said, why would he want to go to the Jets?
That gets them so mad.
Oh, my God.
We have so many picks. We got Jacob Pick. We got Mekhi Becton. Mm. We got a lot of Denzel Mims. We have so many picks and so much money. Like, okay, what are you doing with the picks?
Because he don't want to go to that dirty ass, trash ass city. That's why.
Denzel Mims said that about
Philly.
Philly, yeah.
I like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
Mm-hmm. I ain't going there.
Deshaun, do you want to go to Philadelphia?
I ain't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
What about New York?
I ain't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
Deshaun, where do you want to go? As long as it's not a...
I ain't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
Well, he wants to go to Miami San Francisco. He wants to go to a coast with a nightlife. He wants to go... Deshaun, I mean, everybody's trying to save Deshaun. Deshaun's just trying to get to the club.
Hey, and the Lambos,
all
the Lambos he rolled in with, there's like seven of them. Lambos aren't free.
Mm-mm.
If you think you're getting all that $27 million signing bonus back from him, no.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Deshaun's going to have to sell them.
No.
You got to wait till he sits.
So that's an underrated.
Deshaun, go to givemethevin.com. Go to givemethevin.com. And right now, Lambos are selling
hot. It
would have
been perfect. I was looking like, did he roll into the greatest?
No. It would have been
the greatest segue transition of all time.
Yep. 757 ESPN 97.5 Aggie Matt Biscuit will get you in on the other side. 713-780-3776.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsmapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsmapBets.com.